This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Your child stay locked up, freed, with this day locked up the next day. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want to listen to nobody in the church. Don't want to listen to the pastor. Don't want to listen to their grandparents. Don't want to listen to their godparents. Don't want to listen to nobody. And it's been this way a long time. But Jesus wanted to give motivation to say, it makes no difference how long they've been this way, I can still handle it. Don't give up on them. I can still handle it. I don't care if they've been this way since the baby. I can still change their heart. I can still change their mind. Because you got to realize you ain't always been the way you are right now. You ain't always been in church on Sunday morning. You ain't always been in prayer service on Wednesday evening. Some of us used to get so drunk and don't know when the one day end, when another one begin. But look how good God has been to you. And the same way he changed you, he can change that individual. He said, I want to give you motivation. Watch. Here comes more motivation. Watch this. Because he wanted the daddy to start rehearsing the child's experiences. Watch this. Look at verse 22. Now, here's your praise cue. Watch this. The daddy said, oftentimes, his troubles has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But he couldn't do it. Why? Y'all missed it. In other words, he should have burned up in the fire, but he didn't burn. He should have drowned in the water, but he didn't drown. What the devil designed to take him out, my prayer still brought him through. Don't you know the devil had already designed many things to take you out, but it was by the grace of God he still brought you through. You ought to tell somebody, I'm a survivor. I've survived many things. I've survived the bad relationship. I've survived the divorce. I've survived the depression. I've survived the cancer. I've survived the joblessness. I've survived being homelessness. I've survived with friends walking away. I've survived with them stabbing me in my back. I am a survivor because God has blessed me. What Satan meant for evil, God turned it for good. Won't you tell your neighbor, he can turn it around. No matter what you're going through, he can turn it around. What was designed to take me out, God has given me strength. He said, all that my child have been through the water and through the fire, but yet it did not do him any harm. So after his determination, after Christ helped him with motivation, now Christ's going to give him inspiration. Look at your Bible. He says in verse 23, he says, Jesus began to talk to him. He said, now, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. Jesus said, now, you already know he's been this way a long time. You already know you went to the church and the church couldn't help you. You went to others and you were trying to deal, you trying to be a good father. You did all you can for him, but he won't listen to you. He keep being hard-headed. You keep dealing with the same trouble. He said, but listen, regardless of how long he's been this way, I need to know from you, Daddy, do you believe all things are possible? And see, God is talking to somebody this morning. You going through hell and high water, and you don't think you can make it, but he just want to say, do you believe all things are possible? Watch this. Watch what Daddy says. Watch this. When Jesus said that, the Bible says that the father of the child cried out. Some translations says that he worshiped. His child was still in the same situation. But just the idea Jesus was close was enough for that daddy to start worshiping. Oh, y'all don't get it. Your troubles may not be gone, but just the idea he's close to you. Oh, that's enough for me to still say hallelujah. The problem may be still there, but just the idea of the problem solver is close to me, I can still say hallelujah. The sickness is still there, but the healer is close to me. It makes me want to still raise my hand. Like anybody can testify this morning, I may still be in a situation, but just the idea he's close to me. The father cried out. He cried out. He said with tears, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Uh-oh. In other words, he is saying, if I'm the reason that my child is in this predicament, if my lack of faith is keeping my child where he or she is, then God, help me that you can help my child. Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm saying. Help me that I can help my child. Don't you know, look, it might hit home, but I got to tell you, sometimes the children and the way they are, because they just following you. They cuss out grown folk because they hear you cuss them out. They don't respect the people of the church because they don't see you respecting the people of the church. Baby, let me tell you something. A child's greatest inspiration is what's in the home. Watch this. There's something about this text that I think you never noticed. Watch this. Look at verse 17. When he first started talking to Jesus, he calls him master. But after Jesus motivated him and inspired him, in verse 24, he called him Lord. Let me say it again. In verse 17, he calls him master. You got to study biblical history. Just because somebody call you master don't mean they believe that you're the Lord, because many rabbis were called master. Remember the young rich ruler said, hey, good master. But see, when he started talking with Jesus, he realized Jesus is beyond a master. You see, a master just over certain things of human relations. But when it comes to a Lord, when you call him Lord, he's in absolute control of every situation. So he said, Lord, since I met you, my language has changed. Things have come, I see things in a different eye now because I trust you more. He says, Lord, help my unbelief. See, you got to learn to speak the right stuff. I'm not going to ask God to give me strength to climb a mountain. Because when I get to the mountain, he didn't ask me to climb the mountain. He told me to speak to the mountain. And if I speak to the mountain in Jesus' name, the mountain got to get out of my way. And see, the reason why some of you still have mountains, you're too busy trying to climb them. He didn't ask you to climb no mountain. He asked you to speak to the mountain. Now watch this. The mountain may be bigger than you. The mountain may be stronger than you. The mountain may be heavier than you, but your faith is stronger than the mountain. Your faith is bigger than the mountain. Your faith is heavier than the mountain. And it makes no difference how strong, how heavy, and how big. In the name of Jesus, the mountain got to get out of my way. Don't you know Proverbs 18 and 21 said there's power, life and death is in the tongue. You can speak your own trouble. You know, some of us are so traumatized by family history. Just because you got high blood pressure and sugar and heart attacks and cancer in your family, every pain you get to start talking your own dilemma. But don't you know with that same tongue that you downgrade yourself with that same tongue you can lift yourself up with? In the name of Jesus, I know God is able. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to keep on running. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to keep on praying. In the name of Jesus, I'll keep on singing, because I've come too far to turn around now. He's blessed me too much to give up on him now. How many can testify and say, I'm running for Jesus? If I got to run all by myself, he's been too good to me. So, watch this. One more point I'm gonna bring to you. This daddy cried out. Watch this. He cried out and worshiped, not for himself, but for his son. And you know, hear me good, you are spiritually mature when you can praise God for somebody else. You know that you have reached a level or a plateau with God. Is that when you come to church, the worship that you give God is not for you, but it's for somebody else. You know you're the real thing when your worship is not about you and what you want and what you need, is about somebody else. Need to tell your neighbor sitting on side of you, you sit at the right pew today. You sit by the right individual today, because this praise I'm getting ready to give God is not for me. It's going to be for you. Whatever you need in your life, I'm going to say hallelujah. Whatever you desire in your life, I'm going to give God the highest praise. Whatever you need in your life, this praise is for you. Come on, don't let the bill company outdo you. How about this buzz for you? And everybody jump up and shout. Tell somebody, this praise is for you. This hallelujah is for you. This thank you, Jesus, is for you. When he had the determination, when he had motivation, when he had inspiration, watch this. Now Christ is going to give him restoration. When he talked and God saw all that was in the Father, then watch in verse 25. Jesus saw the people. No, y'all missed it. Jesus saw that the people came running. You all just missed the text. He didn't bless the Father and the Son when everybody was gone. He waited till everybody showed up. He waited to the ones that counted the Son out to show up. He waited to the ones who was whispering in the corners about that daddy, how wild his child is. He waited to them to show up. Can I bring it closer? He waited to the ones who've been texting and tweeting about your family, putting your family business all on the social media. He waited to them till they showed up, and then he said, I'm going to bless them right before them. Is there anybody believe that God can prepare a table right in the presence of your enemy? The one who say you wasn't going to make it, he's going to let you make it right in front of them. When the people showed up, Jesus said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Jesus now is in the process of restoring the boy back to his proper place. But he spoke to the father. Then he spoke to the situation. And after he spoke to the situations, watch this, and we're going home. The demons didn't want to come out. They had been there a long time. They had already set up residence there. They had many parties there. They invited their buddies over there. They have laid there rent free, and they didn't want to leave. Everything was at their disposal, but Jesus said, I don't care how long you've been here. I've come to serve you in an eviction notice, and you got to get out of here. And that's one thing I love about Jesus. When he speaks, things will have to happen. Demons will have to flee. Sickness will have to be healed when he speaks. And when he spoke, faith executed the power of God, and the demons had to leave. And Jesus did it right in front of everybody. And watch this. When the demons was exiting the boy, verse 26 says, and the spirit cried and rent him, came out of him. And he was laying there as though he was dead. And the folk who came running said he was dead. But Jesus says looks can be perceiving. Just because he looks dead don't mean he is dead. See, the demons didn't want to leave. But leaving him caused the boy to be in a predicament that only Jesus can bring him out. Now, parents, can I help you? Your child may be locked up. And you're praying and saying, Lord, why is my child locked up? But see, don't worry about that. That could be God's process of pulling the demons out of your child. See, it appeared to society that the boy was dead, but Jesus said, oh, no, he's not dead. Because watch this. In verse 26 and verse 20, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose up. Not only do you have a respiration and inspiration and motivation and determination, but finally, Jesus is going to give you some demonstration. He takes the boy by the right hand and he picks him up and he restores him before everybody. The same ones that counted him out. Jesus said, see, you may count them out, but I've got the power to count them in. When Jesus grabbed him by the right hand, the boy got up. He arose and went to his daddy. And I can imagine, my brothers and my sisters, how good that daddy felt that day. If he was here in 2018 in the month of June at the Mount Zion Church, I think his testimony would be, I'm glad I waited on Jesus. I'm glad that I didn't let discouragement move me from the place I needed to wait on the Lord. But see, I like to be like Job. When Job said, I'm going to wait right here until my change come. I don't know how long I'm going to be like this. But I believe the Lord is going to make a way somehow. How many believe there's power in waiting on Jesus? How many believe there's power in trusting in the Lord? And I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I believe that God's got all power in his hand. Is there anybody here believe that the Lord can make a way out of no way? Yes, there were things designed to take you out, but you need to tell somebody, I'm still here. The devil thought he had me some years ago, but look at me, I'm still here. While I was lying on my hospital bed and people was already making funeral arrangements, but the Lord said, go on and cancel the funeral. I'm speaking life to your life, and that individual can walk in and say, look at me, I'm still here. Is there anybody here that ever had a rough time in your life? Is there anybody here ever had so many hard times you didn't know what good times looked like, but out of nowhere the Lord began to bless you? Out of nowhere the Lord began to give you a peace of mind. Out of nowhere the Lord began to give you joy, unspeakable joy. And you can say, like the old warrior say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And I remember back in the old days when they had testimony service, when people would get up in the church and they would say, pray for me and I'll pray for you, that I'll make heaven my home. I'm asking the prayers of the righteous to keep me in line with God's word. When I thought about that, I thought about heaven. When we get to heaven, what a joy it will be. When we get to heaven, it's a party, it's a VIP. See, I'm making my reservations right now. If you wanna go to heaven's party, you got to call right now. I call on Jesus. He made my reservations. And while I was talking to him, I asked him, I said, who's all invited? He said, everybody that call on my name, they are invited to the party. I said, Jesus, can you tell me who's not invited? He said, Satan, he's not invited. Sickness, he's not invited. Death, he's not invited. Pain, they're not invited. He said, because this party won't never stop. Every day we are shouting glory. Is there anybody here want to shout in glory? Just the other day, I read an illustration about a man. He made it to heaven, and when he got to the gates, he told the angel, he said, angel, I don't want to walk in by myself. And he saw a group coming. He said, angel, who are they? He said, they are the apostles. They are the ones that carried God's word. He said, well, I can't go in with that crowd. And then he saw another crowd coming. He said, who are they? He said, they are the prophets. They are the ones who prophesies of Jesus coming. He said, well, angel, I can't go in with them. He saw another crowd coming. He said, angel, who are they? He said, those are the ones who died prematurely. They got shot. They got murdered. They died in accidents. He said, I can't go in with them. I've lived a long, normal life. But then out of nowhere, he saw another number that no man could number. Rahab was in that crowd. She was a prostitute who hid the spies. David was in that crowd. He was an adulterer and a murderer. Yeah, the thief was in that crowd. He stole all of his life. He said, angel, who are they? He said, these are the ones who are sinners saved by grace. He said, yeah, that's my crowd. He said, I never preached God's word. I never prophesied God's word. I didn't die prematurely, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too, but I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do, and I took the master's hand and I joined the Christian band, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Ain't he all right? Do you know he's all right? Say yeah. Say yes. Say yes. Yes.
The doors of the church are open. If you're here this morning, you're in the right crowd. You're here with sinners saved by grace. And regardless of what your past is, and no matter what you've done in your past, you're in the right crowd. Why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins, during the invitation, let us stand to tell the lost, to tell the confused, that we saints of God, we welcome you. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Why don't you come? I am.
You have been listening to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr., pastor. We invite you to come and experience the change at our church, located at 11th, 16th, and Day Street here in Alexandria. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you by calling the church at 318-448-1604. That's 318-448-1604. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time for the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know my love. other side.